So we're in Matthew 28. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has been buried. They've placed a guard at the tomb. And all of that has happened. And now we get this. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The crazy thing about Christianity is that as Christians, we believe that this is true. It's not just a story. It's true. Too many people treat it as just a story. Because if they really stopped and thought about whether or not this was true and believed it was true, they would change their lives. In fact, they wouldn't have a choice. They would have to change their lives. The resurrection is what makes Christianity Christianity. No resurrection, no Christianity. It's that simple. There is no religion that has anything like this. Even close to it. Or like the cross. And so we've got the cross and the resurrection all on the same weekend. And they're really one event in one sense, even though they're two events. Because they go together. And that weekend is the center of history. That weekend is the most important weekend that history has ever seen, because of the significance of what happened. So we're going to kind of walk through the scene, and then I'm just going to talk about one way to respond. And then next week, we're going to be in here again, and we might be in here again the week after. And so there's a lot in here. So Jesus was crucified. He was laid in a tomb on Friday. At sundown Friday, the Sabbath began, because that's the way it works in Jewish culture. Then at sundown on Saturday, the Sabbath ended. And the first day of the week began. And so it's now very early in the morning, around sunrise. All four Gospels put it right about at the same time. They phrase it a little bit differently, but it's the same time. That's one of those you had talked about contradiction things. They phrase it differently, and some people seize on that. And yet, it's really, they're talking about the same time. It's the first day of the week. And so some women visit the tomb. Matthew mentions two Marys. The other Gospels include both of those same Marys, but they mention other people as well. Another one of those things that people seize on and say, see, this one says there were these four. But it includes the same two that are here. Yeah. And so he doesn't have to mention every name.
Yeah.
But at any rate, so Matthew mentions two Marys. Other Gospels mention there are other women here. So there's more than the two Marys coming to the tomb. Because they were women, they would not be seen as a threat. It's why the women are the ones coming, most likely. Well, the men are sort of feared, cowered away. Part of that is the women aren't a threat. The women actually, as women, can move about much more freely than the men can at this particular time. They can go places where the men can't go right now. Verse 2. There's an earthquake. You remember on Friday during the crucifixion, there was an earthquake. Now, 2 days later, there's an earthquake on Sunday, first day of the week. This would be, and actually, the earthquake, if you remember from the crucifixion, it would be chapter 27, verse 51. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened. That earthquake opened tombs. Mm-hmm. Now we have an earthquake on the first day of the week, and what does it do? It opens a tomb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the earth shakes, and remember that the tombs were caves with a rock rolled in front of the cave. So the earth shakes and the stone either rolls or falls, and the tomb is open. This would have been an aftershock. Pretty common to have aftershocks. You had an earthquake just a couple days before, and this is an aftershock probably from that one. The women would have felt this earthquake. It happened before they got there. And so we don't know exactly the timing, but maybe it happened before they left. Maybe it happened while they were walking there. We don't really know. But it happened that morning sometime early, very early, before they got there. They would have felt it. The stone had been rolled away before they got there. But they surely felt this earthquake, and they were maybe thinking, not again. What's going on? Because they would have felt the earthquake at the crucifixion. And this would probably remind them of that.
Yeah.
It would bring up the crucifixion and the death of Jesus. By the time they arrive at the tomb, the guards are like dead men and actually probably had fled by this time. We know from later in Matthew that the guards run to the Jewish leaders and give a report. And very likely they're already gone when the women arrive at the tomb.
And they probably put to death for it.
And the stone, we'll talk about that when we get to the guard report. I was going to say next week, but it won't be next week. Because mm-hmm. we're going to still be in this next week.
We'll talk about it at some point.
Yeah. And the stone is rolled away when they get there, and there's an angel. And actually, there were likely two angels based on Mark and Luke. From their reports. Matthew just gives us this one. And the angel says to them, verses 5 and 6, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Do not fear." That's what they say. And if you look at both of those verses together, there's a reason why you're not to fear. Do not fear. I know you seek Jesus. He's not here. He's risen.
As he said.
So the idea is, don't be afraid. Jesus is risen. That's what the angel is communicating to these women. That's the idea. See, to them, an empty tomb doesn't necessarily mean a resurrection. Grave robbing was common. And that would be the first thing they would think of if they just saw an empty tomb and nothing else. They would think somebody stole the body. And they would be wondering who. And they would probably be weeping. Actually, in John, when we get the scene with Mary Magdalene and she thinks Jesus is the gardener, and, you know, tell me where you've put him. She's not thinking resurrection. She's thinking something else. And so, but the angel says, no, no, he's risen. The angel's letting them know he's risen. Go tell his disciples he's risen and that they will meet him in Galilee. So the women leave, they go tell the disciples quickly. Verse 8 says they have fear and great joy. That is quite a combo. Just think about that for a moment. Just put those two emotions together in one package, because that's what they're experiencing. Fear and great joy. That is a strange combination to go together. I mean, if you're afraid, do you have joy? Well, yeah. Now, of course, there's more than one woman. And some women may have had more fear than joy. And some women may have had more joy than fear. Not every woman, I'm sure, is processing this identically. They're all processing it in different ways. And so this fear and great joy, part of that could be simply there's different women there. And yet, I think part of it is they do go together when you consider the event. And so, I mean, the fear aspect, he's risen from the dead? And yet, there's joy. He's risen from the dead. It's like it sank in. At the same time, who is this who has risen from the dead? And so they run off. And as they're running off, boom, they meet Jesus. There he is. So just in case there was any doubt about this cause of the empty tomb, and all they have is a report that he's risen, but now they have more than a report that he's risen. They have the risen Christ himself. And they see him. And they know who he is. Because it says they fall at his feet and worship him. If some of them had had doubts about the empty tomb and where the body was, they don't anymore. Seeing Jesus puts those to rest. And Jesus says to them then the same thing the angel had said to them. Tell my brothers to go into Galilee, and there they will see me. Now in verse 10, the only difference between Jesus and the angel is the angel says, go tell my disciples, and Jesus says, go tell my brothers. That's the only difference, pretty much, between them. And the word brothers probably refers to more than the 11 disciples. Because Jesus had a lot of followers in Jerusalem at this time. And we know that Jesus is going to appear to the 11 in Jerusalem. Those guys don't have to go to Galilee to see Jesus. He's going to appear to them, actually, pretty soon. And without having to go to Galilee. But the majority of the brothers, that's not going to be true of. They're not going to see Jesus necessarily here in Jerusalem. And Jesus is saying, tell my brothers, go up to Galilee, they'll see me there. This is almost like a, I don't know, a faith thing. You know? Go. So if we go to Galilee, we're going to see Jesus? You said you saw him? And if we go to Galilee, we'll see him. Well, yeah. Well, okay, do they believe or not? It's a faith thing. This story, as all of the resurrection accounts in all the Gospels, is incredibly bare bones. When you think of the event and the significance of the resurrection, how crucial this is and how central this is to Christianity and to history itself. And if you think of what they could have described versus what they did describe, this is so matter of fact. Just boom, 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 boom. This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. It's done. We're done describing the event. This is not how you write legend. When you write legend, it's flowery. It goes on and on. It describes all kinds of... This is how you write history. Now, there's a whole lot more we could talk about concerning the scene itself, but I want to get into how should we respond to this. And I'm going to get this from the text itself, and we're going to talk about this today. Next week, we're going to talk about a different way to respond from the text, and maybe the following week, a third way to respond from the text. Depending on how next week goes, we'll see. So, Jesus is risen. How should you respond? So, the first way from the text is the scripture I gave you to memorize. Verses 5 and 6. Do not fear. Jesus is risen. That's what the angel says. Don't be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Don't be afraid. Why? Jesus is risen. Now, that's true today. You don't have to be afraid of anything because Jesus is risen. Remember, we as Christians, we believe this is true. This isn't just a story. This is real. It's true. And if it's true, that changes everything. So what do you fear? You fear your family who are not Christians, maybe? Jesus is risen. He has overcome whatever opposition your family may give you. You fear your culture? Here in America, our culture opposes our faith. Do you fear what the culture may do, how it thinks, all of its criticisms, all of its scorn, all of that? Jesus is risen, guys. That's going to go on. Jesus rising doesn't stop that. It overcomes that. And so he has overcome our culture, whatever it happens to be. Our culture will not rise to eternal life. But in Christ, we will. He's risen. We have people in our church who have governments who there's reason to fear the government. But Jesus is risen. He has overcome government opposition. A nation is temporary. I want you to think for history for a moment. Name for me one nation that has lasted eternally. You can't. Every nation that has ever existed has also ceased to exist. That's going to happen with America. That's going to happen with Indonesia. That's going to happen with China and Russia. That's going to happen. Name a nation today, and it's temporary. Nations are temporary. Jesus is eternal. He's still alive. He's risen from the dead. And when you are in him, you rise with him. What that means is that you and I will outlast our nation, because we're eternal and our nation's not. What do you fear? People criticizing you because you follow Jesus? Mocking, scorning, don't want to share your faith, maybe? You know, that fear is a big reason why people don't share their faith. I get it. I'm not an evangelist. I understand that fear, you know. They mocked Jesus when he was on the cross, but he rose from the dead. They'll mock you, but in Christ, you'll rise from the dead. Now, in this text, the women, they're initially afraid. I think you would be too, if you kind of put yourself in their sandals. Here you are. You're coming to a tomb to your master who died by crucifixion on Friday, and you're expecting, there's what they're expecting. You're expecting a tomb closed with a big stone over it, and you're not sure how you're going to move the stone. And there's a big earthquake, maybe while you're heading over there, which shakes you up a bit in more ways than one. And you get to the tomb, and the tomb is open and empty, and there's this angel, like lightning, sitting there. That's kind of weird. I mean, you know, if you were in their situation, this is not what you were expecting. They're trying to process right now. And it's hard for them to process all that's going on. They don't understand what's happening. They don't get their earthly surroundings. But the angel says, "Don't be afraid. I know you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. He's risen." They don't understand. But don't be afraid. Jesus is risen. So then, do you understand all of life? I mean, isn't it true that stuff happens and you don't get it? You know, my mom has cancer. My mom's going through chemo right now. Do I know why? I don't. I don't know why. We had a miscarriage many years ago. Do I know why? I don't. I don't know why. My parents divorced many years ago. And when that happened, I mean, I lost my family. I have a mom and I have a dad, but I don't have a family. And I don't know why. I don't understand all of this stuff that's happened in my life. Life is full of, I don't understand. I don't get that. Why did that happen? And your life is full of this kind of stuff as well. This kind of stuff happens to you just as much as it's me. I'm not unique. But here's the thing. Jesus is risen. Do not fear. When you don't understand earth, don't be afraid. Jesus is risen, and he's with you. Now, so here I am saying all of this, and I understand, easier said than done, right? It's easy to say, don't be afraid when you don't understand. It's easier to say, don't be afraid when you have all this opposition from the culture or family or work or, you know, it's the government or whatever. It's easy to say that. It's harder to do it. I understand that. I mean, all of those things, family, government, people, culture, life, can sometimes put immense pressure on you. And fear is natural. It's a natural response. But if Jesus is risen, as natural as fear is, it's unwarranted. And we may still, we'll wrestle with it nonetheless, but it's unwarranted. It really is, given the fact of the resurrection. You may be afraid of what so-and-so can do, but you have in the risen Christ a power that he can't touch. In fact, those who oppose our faith, who oppose Jesus, who oppose Christianity, those who do that, they are the ones who need to fear what Jesus can do. And so I think in many ways this is a matter of, do you see the power of the risen Christ? Do you actually see it? If you do see it, why fear? Jesus is risen. Doesn't mean you may never wrestle with fear. You will. But when you fully see the power of the resurrection, when you fully see the power of the risen Jesus, when you fully see that Jesus has conquered death, he's conquered death. When you fully see this, the risen Jesus helps you overcome fear in whatever situation it is that you fear, whatever that happens to be. And it may be a struggle, but it's a struggle you have to enter into. Fear is something that we don't just give into, it's something we fight. And so how do you fight fear? I'm sure there are lots of correct answers to that biblically, lots of different ways to fight fear biblically, but in this particular text, you fight fear by focusing on the risen Jesus. That's what this text is saying. That's how you fight fear. Jesus is risen from the dead. Do you see that? Or do you see only the fact that your family criticizes you? Do you see Jesus risen from the dead? Or do you see only that you could lose your job for speaking about Jesus? Do you see this, the earthly part? Do you also see the resurrected part? What are we looking at here? What do you see Jesus risen from the dead, or do you see only that, you know, in some countries like in Iran, you could go to jail for your faith? Is that all you see, or do you see the risen Jesus? What do you see? Earth? Nothing but earth? Only your situation? If so, you fear. Because that's all you see. Or do you see something more than earth as well? It doesn't change earth in terms of, it's still there. It's just that there's something else there too. I mean, do you see a Savior who's risen from the dead? A Lord who has conquered death? a risen king who is by your side? Do you see the power of God with you? Do you see that that power will not go away because he's risen? He's not going to die. Death already had its shot. Death failed. He's overcome that. Do you see that if you are in Christ, you also rise? That's your future. So tell me, what do you see? If all you see is earth, you'll fear. But if you see the risen Christ with you, be encouraged. You have no reason to fear in the end. Because even if they kill you, you rise from the dead. Jesus is risen. You are in him. I'm going to close this way. I'm going to give you all a piece of paper. So grab a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil. And what I want you to write down on that pen or pencil is, what is something you fear? And so just take a moment and think about what that would be.